Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Work Heartily as to the Lord, already in progress.
Before we go to Colossians, I want us to go to Romans 10, 8 and 9. And I want everybody to see how simple it is to make Jesus Lord of your life. We don't talk about this very often, but look at this. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That's just exactly what Jeff was saying a while ago. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith that we preach. Verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. How hard did he make that? If anybody's lost and don't know Jesus, all you got to do is say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Is that how easy it is?
Yes.
And he'll save you, will he not?
Yes.
He will not turn anybody down. You know, so if you have never done that in your life, and then after you've done that, you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized in water. You know, you don't need to be sprinkled. That don't work. You don't need to be do all. You need to be submersed in water, just like the Bible says. That's what Jesus did. If we use Jesus' example, if we've never been baptized, and lots of people that are raised up Catholic, you know, they sprinkled them when they was a kid, and then they think that's okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. You need to be baptized. You know, so you can do exactly what the Lord says. So. Anyway, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, the most simple thing in the world, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead and you're saved. Now then, there is even a simpler way that the Lord says anyone that calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Okay, if anyone that calls on the name of Jesus should be saved, then if you run into somebody that does not know Jesus and you think they might be on their last leg, or they just had an accident and they're bleeding to death, and you run up there to the car and you say, are you born again? And they say, no. I said, do you want to know Jesus? They say, yes. Just say, Jesus. And they say, Jesus. Guess what just happened? They just got saved. They didn't have to go into a big detail. You didn't have to explain nothing to them. Just call on the name of Jesus. And they're going to, the next breath, they're going to die. And then they're going to be in this magnificent place and they're going to think, where is this? What is this? Wow, if you didn't have time to tell them about heaven, they'll find out, won't they? They'll find out. And you reckon one of these days when you get there, if you were the one that got them to speak the name of Jesus on their dying breath, they're going to be waiting on the edge and the portals of heaven saying, let me see, find that guy when he comes here. I'm going to grab him around the neck and I'm going to hug him. In the name of Jesus, we're okay. We are healed. We still, I mean, I'm just like... Jerry's wife back there, Camilla, she says, Thurman, I've realized that by coming to your church, and they've been coming to my church off and on for years. They met me in a Baptist church when I was a Sunday school teacher years ago. But she was just telling me, I was talking to her back there a while ago, and she said, I've learned one thing. Coming to your church, she says, I don't have to die sick. She said, whenever if sickness tries to come up on us, we repent of our sin, and then we just... I mean, when she started to say what she did, I said, let me tell you what you do. I reached up, grabbed her by the arm, twisted her arm, and I said, throw that beast out. And then she said, and give him a boot in the backside as he goes out the door.
Amen.
So, yes, we kick that devil out, right? We ain't going to go home sick, are we, Camilla?
No.
Not with the word of God. I mean, we have the promises of God, but, you know, it'll be a battle. You know, just think. Somebody said, well, you know, if God really loved me, he wouldn't expect me to fight a battle like this. Oh, no, no, he's training you how to be an overcomer. I mean, just like the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. Did he show them every kind of miracle imaginable?
Yes.
I mean, he showed them everything. Then he brought them up to the Red Sea and the river, and Jordan River and everything, and flood stage, and he just separated the waters, and they walked right across. Now, do you think those people know God can do anything by this time?
Yes.
I think so. So he goes up there to the Promised Land and says, okay, guys, there's the Promised Land. I'm giving it to you. But you go in and subdue it. Lord, you give it to us, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, well, that means we just go in and there's not going to be any resistance. But there was resistance, wasn't there? Yeah, those other guys, they didn't want to give it up, and the only difference is they were bigger, way up here, big guys. And so, but the Lord told them, said, I'll go with you. Well, now, if Jesus, if your big brother promises to go with you to a battle, can you lose? No way. No way. If your big brother's with you, Miss Jackie, you're not afraid of nothing when you know your big brother's with you all the time, right?
Bring it on.
Bring it on. That reminds me of that preacher that said that very statement when he was talking about them demons that time. He's studying about demons. I went to his church when I was out in Seattle. I was out there to check a building belong for the company. Or the company was thinking about buying. I went out there to check the building. And on Sunday, I got there on Saturday night. So Sunday morning, I just took my rent car and drove down the street, and I found a church. So I went in. And that pastor, I'll never forget that guy. He said, you know, I was studying about demons. He said, now, seminary, they didn't teach me about demons. And I thought, well, in the church, they don't teach you about demons much either. But anyway, he said, I've studied about demons, and I'm learning about them. I'm reading books about demons. And he said, one day, I think, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Send me a demon. Now, you see, you have to be careful when you ask God for something. So he said a few days later, he said it was a beautiful, he said I didn't live but about three or four blocks from the church, and said it was a beautiful day. And so I walked to work that morning, said on that afternoon I'm walking back home and needed to get some exercise anyway. Said I'm walking along the sidewalk and all of a sudden I go past an apartment complex and I hear this screaming. And I look over here and said there's an old woman coming out, said she's got gray hair just straddled all over the top of her head, and she's screaming, she's got snaggled teeth and everything else, and said she's got a great big butcher knife in her hand, she's screaming, I'm gonna kill you. He said, man, I'm telling you, I dug in, I hit the front, he said, I'm digging in and I'm running, and I nearly get to the house. And I thought, about three blocks further down the road, and he said, I thought, I'm going to see where she's at. And he said, I stopped to look, and I said, where'd she go? And the Lord says, I thought you were ready. See, don't make that promise, don't make that statement to the Lord, I'm ready, because if you do, guarantee he's going to test you. He's going to send something to test you. So don't do something to get him to test you unless you want to really be tested, because he will do it, won't he?
Yes.
Yes, he will. So don't ever say, Lord, I'm ready. Send me a demon, because I guarantee he'll send you one, or he may send you a whole bunch of them. You know, and that depends on how ready you are. So anyway, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We now know how to get saved, right? Confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are saved, right? Everybody in here, I hope, has done that. If you have not done that before this church is over today, I trust that you will come to one of us, and we will lead you through this, because we don't want nobody to go away from here that's not saved. We want everybody to be saved and healed. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now then, if you then be risen with Christ, in other words, technically speaking, what he's saying here is if you've been baptized with Christ, if you've been immersed in water and then be risen back from the dead, if you then be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Because he's definitely sitting at the right hand of God. But you need to seek him if you are a Christian. Seek those things which are above. Let's see what verse 2 says. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. How many of us really do that? How many of us set all of our affections on things above? Not many of us. Most of us, we're still tied up in the world. Verse 3, let's see what verse 3 says. For you are dead. See, what this is a picture of, when you were baptized, you were supposed to die. So, I mean, I've made this statement to several people before. I baptize several people here, both men and women, boys and girls, young people and older people. But whenever you're baptized, and I put you down under the water, I'm supposed to hold you just long enough to kill the flesh and then raise you from the dead, and you're supposed to walk in obedience to God's word. So, if I see somebody sinning after I baptize them, after you're baptized, you're supposed to be dead. You're not supposed to sin no more. You're supposed to walk in obedience to God's word. So If I baptize somebody and then next month or next year or whatever, I see them fussing at each other like two boys. Let's take two teenage boys, for instance. Let's say they come in, they get baptized, they get saved, and then I teach them these principles and they walk there for a little while, and then one day I'm out here doing something and one's done something to the other one, and I know they'd never do that. But one of them do something to the other one, they're all fussing and fighting or slinging fists or throwing rocks at each other or doing something. And I just walk over to them and say, okay, boys, y'all need to be baptized again. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, I guess I didn't hold you down quite long enough, so I'm going to hold you down a little longer this time. See if I can kill you. Literally kill you. Because dead men, dead boys and girls ain't supposed to fight, are they?
No.
And according to the scripture, it doesn't say if you're dead. It says, for we are dead. Is that what it says? For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where we're supposed to live. Verse 4. Let's see what. Go on a little further here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, one of these days, he's coming again. And it could be any day, could it not? I don't know. I think there's a few things left to go before the tribulation period starts. But as far as the rapture is concerned, which I am a pre-trib rapture believer, I believe with all my heart that everything that has to be done has been done before Jesus could come and take his church out. Now, I may be wrong. You know, if you don't agree with me, that's okay. You know, you have your right to be wrong if you want to. You know, just kidding. I may be wrong, but I have the right to be wrong if I want to. I don't think I'm wrong, but I might be. But anyway, I will have to say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt the scripture does say that Jesus is coming back. Does it not? Okay, we all in agreement with that?
Yes.
Jesus is coming back, and I'm believing he's going to come back before the tribulation period. So one day I would hope that if we are all right, that if we were to hear that boom, like a sonic boom, and all of a sudden, and maybe I'm fixing to walk back here to say something to y'all, and I say, and I'm right here, and the next step, when my foot hits the ground, I'm in heaven, standing on the throne of God. I think, wow, boy, what a step. That was an awesome step. Is that how quick it happens? That's exactly how quick it happens, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return to our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Work Heartily as to the Lord, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.